Morning to share this time of worship together. Amen.
Amen.
A couple of things to share with you before we do our lesson, though. Just a reminder to you, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, the air conditioning will be on. Okay? And so we're going to be having this movie. Brian's going to be showing this movie, Indivisible, 5 o'clock here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind and hope that you'll be here, share that time with us. We will have some popcorn and just enjoy that movie. Now, next Sunday, our fourth Sunday fellowship, 5 o'clock, be in the fellowship hall. We're going to be doing summer fruit. Okay, so bring your favorite summer fruit to share and whatever drinks you want to have along with that. And you bring your singing voices because we're going to do some singing. All right, so that's our plan for fourth Sunday fellowship next week. All right, so those are things going on. And I will throw this in. I didn't realize this until this morning. I'm just throwing this out there to you. This is for your information. Today is National Ice Cream Day. All right, so, you know, again, just for your information, I'm going to pass that on to you, okay? All right, so as we begin our lesson this morning, I need a volunteer. I need somebody to come up and help me this morning as we begin our lesson. Can I get a volunteer? Dale, come on up here.
Yeah, I know. Not like I trust him.
Yeah, trust me. I've got two things. This is really simple. Two things that you have to do. All right? The first thing that I would like for you to do is take this tube of toothpaste, and I'd like for you to squeeze some of it out on this tray. Okay, that's good. All right, now, everybody see all this nice gob of toothpaste? I hope you don't use that much when you brush your teeth, do you? You use twice that much, okay. All right, so he did the first thing really well, right? Squeezed out the tube, that's pretty easy, all right? Second thing I want for you to do, put it back in the tube. Okay, thank you very much for your help. I thought maybe a visual like that would help you to maybe the next time and maybe every time from now on when you brush your teeth, you'll remember this lesson. Whether you do that every day, once a day, twice a day, or maybe you only brush yours once a month, I don't know. But hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, whenever you brush your teeth, you'll remember this particular lesson. We're talking about after you get the toothpaste out of the tube, okay? Because you see, here's the thing. When they put toothpaste in the tube, they don't put it in through that small little opening. They put it in through the bottom of the tube, which generally is a round tube at that time, and it's put in there, and then the end of it is sealed in that flat motion that you see on there. That's how the toothpaste gets in there, all right? Then, when you want to squeeze some out to use, you squeeze out, you know, a little bit onto your toothbrush out of the other end that it's designed to come out of, all right? So here's the key to all of this. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in, all right? Once it's out, you can't put it back in there. So again, you squeeze out enough. You can do like Dale, use twice as much there. I don't, you know. But you squeeze out what you want onto your brush, you brush your teeth, and you go on. Here's what we're going to talk about this morning. Words are a whole lot like that toothpaste. That's what I want you to be focusing on this morning. Think of words are like that toothpaste. Okay? Now, with toothpaste, there's a lot of good uses for toothpaste. All right? And I don't know if you realize this or not. But toothpaste can be used for a lot of things other than just brushing your teeth. Because toothpaste is abrasive, but it is a mild abrasive, you can use toothpaste to clean a lot of things, polish a lot of things, you see? So toothpaste is really good for a lot of different things other than just brushing your teeth, all right? And in the same way, words are useful for a lot of good things, aren't they? In other words, there are a lot of good words that we can use. Let's take a look at some things, especially from the wise man who wrote the Proverbs. Let's look at several things that the Bible has to say about words, okay? For instance, in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, he says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but look at this, a kind word cheers him up." So you see what kind words can do, all right? "Pleasant words," he says, "are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So words that are pleasant can really help people feel better, even when you're feeling physically hurting, you see. He says they are healing to the bones. Good words. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Now here's another translation of that same text here. It says, "The tongue can speak words that bring life or death.
Amen.
Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings."
Well,
okay? Our words, they can be good, but they can also be bad. They can bring a lot of good to people. He says in 17, verses 27, 28, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise."
Well,
so how we use our words is very important. And sometimes saying nothing is the best thing to say at all, right?
Amen.
It's better to say nothing. And you know, that's really true. A lot of times we find ourselves in situations where maybe somebody is struggling with something, maybe they're grieving or what have you, and people think, "Well, I don't know what to say." Sometimes don't say anything. Okay? Sometimes just being there and saying nothing says more than all the words that you can put together. So we need to think about it in terms of good words or phrases that we can use that encourage and uplift and edify and help people to feel better and things of that nature. There's a lot of different words and phrases, just like these up here, that are helpful, that do a lot of good for other people when they are used in that way. Here's one passage, and I've talked about this, it's been a while, but I've talked about this passage before. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. I'm convinced that if we would just follow this one passage out of the Bible, it would solve a whole lot of relationship problems that are going on. You think about all the stuff that's going on in America today, whether it's politically or whether it's all the social garbage going on and everything else. If we could just get people to obey this one passage of the Bible, what do you think would happen? You say, what would happen? Now, I want to look at this because there are four things here that Paul is telling us that are really important to the use of words. All right? So let's break this down. The first thing that he says here, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." Okay? Now, again, notice something specific here. How much does he say here? "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." So how much unwholesome talk should we allow to come out of our mouth?
None.
Okay? Don't let any of it. If it's unwholesome, then don't say it. Just keep it inside. Now, what difference do you think that would make, perhaps maybe in your relationship, maybe in your marriage or your relationship with your children, your parents, your neighbors, co-workers, whoever it is? What difference do you think it would make if you would just do that one part? If you were committed to not letting anything unwholesome come out of your mouth? What difference do you think it would make, again, in our society across America today? All right? So if we can commit to not letting anything unwholesome come out of our mouth. All right? But then the second thing that he says is, but only what is helpful for building others up. So in other words, don't let anything unwholesome come out, but whatever does come out, make sure that it is helpful to build others up. All right? The third thing that he says here is, according to their needs. So whatever it is that we do let come out of our mouth needs to be to build others up according to the needs that they have, not according to our own needs. All right? But we are building them up according to their needs. And then the last thing that he says here, that it might benefit those who listen. Right? It might benefit those who listen. Now, when Paul wrote these words, Facebook and Twitter and all those other avenues, and I don't even know what all's out there because I don't do any of them, those things did not exist, right? Okay? But they still use what? Words, okay? They still use words. So if we would again abide by this when we're getting on Facebook or Twitter or what's, I don't know what the other ones are, but you understand my point? They're still words. And we need to be careful how we're using them. Okay? Let's talk about bad words. There are good words or good uses of words, and then there are bad words or bad uses of words. Again, the wise man in Proverbs 10 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. It's so easy for us to get ourselves into trouble just by using words if we're not careful. Sin trouble, he says, by our words. So, go back to our toothpaste analogy, right? You know, toothpaste is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I hope more people think it is than that, all right? Toothpaste is a good thing, right? Yes, it is, okay? But, you know, if you don't use it wisely and you're not careful about how you're using it, then it can create quite a big mess sometimes, can it? Right? So, again, we have to be careful how we use it and realize that if we're not careful with it, then it can cause lots and lots of problems. Okay? Again, the wise man in Proverbs 17 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to, look at this, gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. And so there are three ways right there that words can be used to hurt and destroy other people. By gossip and lying and slandering. We need to be careful about how we use our words. Now, you know, usually in printed form, okay, something like this where all these different symbols are used indicates curse words, right? We typically think of bad words. That's what we think of is curse words. And those should not be used at all, right? Amen. Right? Amen. Okay? All right? But what my point here is, I want to make sure we understand that it's just not that kind of language that can be bad words. If we're gossiping or we're lying or we're slandering someone, that's whatever words we're using to do that are bad words. Because they're hurting other people. Okay? James tells us the tongue is a fire, he says. It is a fire. And look at what he goes on to say. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Okay? We need to be careful about the words that we use. Okay? Because we come in here and we sing praises to God. We honor Him with our mouth, with our words. And then we go out of here, and what do we say? To or about other people. And James says, that shouldn't be happening. Shouldn't be happening. I have, on occasion, when I've been around a couple of guys out on the golf course that I play with, that they can get, you know, get kind of raunchy sometimes. And I've said to them, I said, do you kiss your wife with that same tongue, that same mouth? You know? Because they're using it for both. They didn't think about it. Wait a minute here. God does not want us to be praising Him and then turn around and cursing people that are made in His image. We need to be careful about the words that we use. Okay? A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. How often have you found that to be true? Okay? How often have you found it to be true? I've told this story before about the time back when I was a trooper out here on 85 and I stopped this truck driver for speeding. And he pulls over on the side of the road and he got down out of the cab and I could tell right away this guy was upset. I mean, he was mad. And I started walking up to him, and he's coming to me just like charging like a bull. And he's like, all right, what are you stopping me? And so I go, whoa, wait a minute here. I said, tell you what. I said, why don't you go back up and get in your truck, and I'm going to go get back in my car, and we'll start this thing all over again. And he just kind of, you're right, I'm sorry. I said, what are you so mad about? He said, I just got stopped in North Carolina for speeding by a trooper down there. I said, well, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this. I said, but, you know, you're going to get another ticket because you're speeding again. And he said, I know. You know, but my point is that could have gone two ways. He was obviously pretty upset that he had just gotten a speeding ticket. But it didn't help and he didn't learn anything, did he? And now he's pretty upset about all that. And I could have jumped right into him and, you know, and we could have gotten into a physical altercation. It could have turned that way. But by just simply using some humor and a soft answer, took away that wrath and helped him to calm down so we were able to proceed. He got the ticket. He took it. He accepted it. You know, and no more problem. I don't know if he slowed down after that or not. Okay? But you understand my point. And that's what the wise man here is saying. How we respond to someone when they're angry can make all the difference in the world. Okay? James gives us this admonition. If anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You see how much power our words have. They have power over our soul. We need to understand that. For God is recognized saying, you know, you can go to church all you want to. You can be there every time the doors are open, come to Bible class and worship and the singing and the movies and everything. You can participate in everything. And you can do lots of good things for a lot of people. But if you don't keep a rein on your tongue, then all of that is worthless. So it really is important, the words that we use. I like this statement. I don't remember now where it came from, but I like this. Don't mix bad words with your bad mood. And isn't that usually where, you know, the bad words come about? We're in a bad mood. Something bad's happened. And so we're in a bad mood. And look at what it says. You'll have many opportunities to change a mood, but you'll never get the opportunity to replace the words you spoke. You cannot put those words back. So don't let your mood cause you to say things that you will later regret. All right? So be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. Just think about that and kind of make that visual in your mind. Tasting your words. What do those words taste like that you're getting ready to say? And if they don't taste good to you, then why do you think somebody else would want them? I mean, that's like, you know, having something, you know, that you tried and it kind of doesn't taste good. And you give it to somebody and say, taste this, see if it's bad. Yeah, it's kind of silly, isn't it? How many times have you ever done that somehow? You see? Yeah, taste this, see if it's bad. Does that taste bad to you? Well, think about doing that with your words. Why would you want to give somebody else words that you already convinced are bad? So keep them to yourself. Okay? Let's talk about putting it back. We have already said and demonstrated you can't put the toothpaste back. All right? It won't go back in the tube no matter how hard you try. You're going to make a huge, huge mess. All right? So, instead of having to worry about putting it back, take heed to what James says here. Every one of us should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And someone said, and I don't know who came up with it, but I like it, said the reason that God gave us two ears and only one mouth is because He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. Okay? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So watch your mouth. And if you have to, be like this. Put a zipper on it. Okay. Many times have you ever done that, maybe with your kids or somebody, you go, zip it. Don't say it.
No. Yep.
Okay? Don't say it. Just zip it. Jesus, in our text that was read for us as we began this morning, lets us know how serious this issue really is. I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Yeah. We need to understand how serious it is for the words that we use and the things that we say. Are we using our words to build up and to encourage others according to their needs, and that it might benefit anybody else who might be listening? Or are we using our words to tear down and to hurt and destroy? So before you speak, remember that words are like toothpaste. Once they're spoken, you cannot put them back. Okay? You cannot put those words back in the tube. When we're talking to other people, we need to be thinking about what it is that we're saying, not just saying things. Realize that the words that we are using are either building up or they're tearing down. Now, I hope that this lesson this morning is just a reminder to all of us, myself included, pay better, more careful attention to what we say to one another. And my encouragement this morning is this. There may be somebody in your life right now, a relationship that you have, where you've got some problems and some struggles because of words that have been said. Usually that's what causes a lot of problems, isn't it? It's the words. If that's the case, if there's someone in your life right now that the relationship is in turmoil or struggling because of things that have been said, either by you or by them, I want to urge you to do your best to fix that. Okay? Do your best to fix that. If there are things that you have said that you know, that toothpaste is out and it's causing some problems, it's created a mess, realize you can't put the toothpaste back, but you can go back and apologize, do what you need to clean up that mess. Okay? It's just like the toothpaste, so you squeeze too much of it out all over the sink or whatever, you're not going to just walk away and leave it there, right? Well, maybe some of us guys would, and then our wives would get after us and we'd have to come and clean it up, right? But you understand my point. We make a mess, we've got to clean it up. And though we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, we can clean up the mess. And that's what I'm urging you to do, to think about. If there's a relationship that's going on with you where you created a mess by the words that you've used, go clean it up. Go to that person and clean it up. And maybe, in that relationship, maybe it's the words that they have said that have created a mess. Then go to them and try to clean it up. See? Jesus tells us what? If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. So go clean it up. Words. Words can encourage, and they can destroy. You need to be thinking about how we're using those words. And as we saw on here, the words that we use sometimes can get us into sin problems. And so if there's anyone here this morning who may be thinking about some of the words that you've been using that have gotten you into some sin problems, you need to repent of that. You need to clean that up with the Lord. Okay? So we have that opportunity for you to do that, if that's where you are this morning. Don't let your words destroy your life and your relationships, either with one another or with God. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And so we want to offer an invitation to anyone. If there's anything we can help you with along that line, maybe you need some help in overcoming some of those relationship issues that have been hurt by the words, then let us know. Do what we can. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ. And we always want to make sure that anyone that is in that situation, that you recognize that you are separated from God by your sins, that you have an opportunity to fix that relationship. That God loves you enough to send his son to die for you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is let us know. Dale and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing. Tom?